නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස ආනාපාන සති භික්කවේ භාවිතා බහුලී කතා මහප්පලා හෝති මහානිසංසාති. Dear Dhamma friends, as you all know, we were discussing some aspects of mental proliferation or conceptual proliferation, and we went through several suttas which are dealing with conceptual proliferation. And today I thought of starting a new series which is quite practical approach to calming down conceptual proliferation. Anapanasati, mindfulness on breathing, is well recognized as a very good technique for calming down conceptual proliferation. And before that, even the level of calming down various wandering thoughts, and therefore knowing very good, or having very good understanding about mindfulness on breathing, is quite interesting and quite important to our spiritual path. So this Anapanasati is well explained in Majjhima Nikaya, the middle length discourses of the Buddha, and there are separate suttas available called Anapanasati Sutta, mindfulness of breathing. So if we see the background to the sutta, so Buddha was staying at Savatthi, but at this time he is not staying in the Jetavanarama, but rather he is staying at Migaramathupasada. So that is the monastery built by devotee Visakha. So Visakha is known as Migara's mother. So Migara is her father-in-law, and so she is well known as Migara's mother. And so this monastery is also known as Migara's place of Migara's mother. Now Buddha and the great arahants were living there, and they were actually spending vassa there. So you know, typically it is 3 months, and so Buddha was residing with all the great disciples at that time. So the sutta gives an account of many names of great arahants, like Venerable Sariputta, Venerable Moggallana, Venerable Kassapa, Venerable Mahakacchana, Venerable Kottita, Venerable Kappina, Venerable Chunda, then Venerable Anuruddha, Venerable Revata, and Venerable Ananda. And those are the fairly known arahants. And again, there were definitely several other senior monks. And one interesting point here highlighted is that they were all teaching the novice monks and the young monks. Because when someone joined with the order, so it is becoming kind of a responsibility of the senior monks to teach the practice and again teach the discipline. So here especially in this sutta, it is mentioned certain senior monks have taken 10 monks, certain senior monks have taken 20 monks, another senior monk has taken 30 monks, and another senior monk has taken 40 monks. So they are now the students, and the senior monks are instructing them to work hard, to practice mindfulness, practice diligently, and trying to attain Nibbana. So basically the young monks also quite diligent, and they are also practicing diligently. And as a result of that, now the 3 months are over, so the vassa period is finished. And typically vassa period is dedicated for secluded practice, heightened practice, and these monks also diligently practicing. And now at the end of the vassa period, now Buddha summoned all the monks, and now they were sitting outside the temple or monastery, and they were in a open environment. So on one point we can see how even when the buildings are available, Buddha seems preferred to staying in the environment, more connected with the environment. And so in the Pavarana ceremony, now Buddha is addressing the bhikkhus. One important aspect of the Pavarana ceremony that is happening at the end of 3 months, at the end of the Vassa, is that all the monks confess and make a request that during this time, if you have noticed any fault in me, if you have heard of any fault in me, please, out of compassion, out of sympathy, please tell me, then I will check it and rectify it. I will prepare, I will correct myself. So that's a very interesting invitation that monks are making formally at the end of the 3 months retreat, 3 months Vassa period. So that is also now happened, and now Buddha, looking at the whole monks, and they are, Buddha found, now they were quite diligent, and they were now, even in this gathering, they were contented, and again diligently trying to develop themselves. So their goal, so their objective is very well motivated, and they want to practice diligently, and because of the good instructions received from senior monks, senior arahants, so these young monks, novices, and the newcomers to the sasana are practicing diligently. And then Buddha further mentioned, I am content with this progress. My mind is content with this progress. So Buddha, in a way, appreciating the monks' behavior, how diligently they are practicing, how dedicated they are. So therefore Buddha is praising the monks. Now again, another interesting decision Buddha makes at this point. Now typically at the end of the Vassa, with the Sangha, Buddha start to travel. So you know, in the huge India, so Buddha has traveled through many cities. A long distance traveling has happened. But now at this point Buddha decided, I am going to stay another month. I am not going for traveling. Maybe he has decided that because monks are diligently practicing and it could be a little bit of disturbance for them if they start to move. So therefore he instructed that I have decided another month to stay here. So therefore you all may better continue your practice. So this is the decision that Buddha makes. And now that notice or that news spreaded all among the monks. And again now senior monks started to further advise the other monks, and they also started to practice diligently, and now they are going through intensive practice. Now the fourth month is also finished. Now this is the rainy season. Now the whole rain season has finished. According to the Buddhist calendar, there were three seasons. Now this is the rainy season, that is why it is Vassana. Now the Vassana period has concluded. And now at the fourth month, now again all the monks have gathered again in the open air, open area, and now again Buddha sort of look at them, making a kind of a surveillance of the whole monks. And there are also Buddha was quite happy because all the monks are diligent, they are even now quite silent and sort of motivated to attain Nibbana, to attain Arahanthood. So therefore Buddha again praising them, and Buddha mentioned, this assembly is free from prattle, there is no any sort of doubt or perplexities, so all are clear about the goal, and all are quite free from any chatter, no noise, and they are quite diligent. So therefore Buddha is praising them, and again mention it is consisting of purely the heartwood. So all the monks are not sort of slack in their practice, rather they are quite diligently trying to achieve their goal. And then again Buddha further mentioned the qualities of the Sangha. Now you know there is a very famous verse that we are using, Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. ඥායපටිපන්නෝ භගවතෝ ශාවක සංඝෝ. So likewise we worship the sangha, we pay respect to the sangha. So those qualities now Buddha highlights. Now this order of sangha is worthy of gifts, worthy of hospitality, and worthy of offerings, worthy of reverential salutation, and they are the incomparable field of merit for the whole world. Now it is the practice that makes them suitable for their offerings. So they are diligently practicing and they are minding their own business in a way. So they have their proper objective and they are doing it. So they become worthy of offerings. And now further, now Buddha has decided to further explain about the crowd. Now Buddha mentioned that there are arahants in this crowd who have completely destroyed taints, and certain very good higher qualities of the arahants were explained in this sutta, like taints were destroyed, kinasava, who have lived the holy life, katakaraniya, done what to be done, laid down the burden, ohita bharo, and then reached their own goal, anuppatta sadatto, destroyed the fetters of being, parikhina bhava sanyojano, and then are completely liberated through final knowledge. So through their wisdom now they have completely eradicated all the defilements and achieved the goal. So they are the arahants. And then Buddha talks about the anagamis, the non-returners. So they have completely destroyed the five lower fetters, and as a result of that now they may not come back to this world, and they are destined to become arahants, and they are the non-returners, anagamis. And again there are another group, they are the once returners, sakadagamis. So they were able to completely dedicate three defilements, three fetters, and another two are fairly subsided, or fairly we can say weakened. So they are the sakadagami or once returners. And there are others who are stream enterers, sotapanna, who basically have completely destroyed three fetters. Now in this sangha, all these different attainments were available, and so Buddha gave a kind of an account of this information as well. Now further, another interesting point highlighted, so that is the list of different practices that they were engaged with. So we today know that there are different meditation practices, and an account of these practices are available in this sutta, Anapanasati Sutta. So Buddha mentioned, so among these monks, there are certain monks who are practicing four foundations of mindfulness, Satipatthana. Another group of monks who are practicing four kinds of striving, Sammappadana. So the four kinds of striving, basically their effort is quite strong. So they are practicing diligently to avoid or to prevent the arising of unwholesome states, and to overcome or remove the already arisen unwholesome states, and to arouse wholesome states, and to protect and fulfill what is already arisen. Those are the wholesome states. So these are the four strivings for great efforts, and monks are determined to practice those four efforts. And certain others are practicing what you call the four bases of spiritual power. Those are the bala. So five faculties and five powers, and so those are the spiritual qualities. Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya. Saddha is the faith, Virya, effort, Sati, mindfulness, Samadhi, concentration, Panya, wisdom. So those spiritual qualities, now they are further developing. And now probably certain others are experiencing the spiritual powers. So these qualities have developed to the level of powers, Bala. And certain others are developing the enlightenment factors, Satya Bojjhanga, seven enlightenment factors. Now they are developing those. And certain others are developing the Noble Eightfold Path. And another group, some others, are developing loving kindness, metta, then altruistic joy, that is the mudita, then they are developing compassion, karuna, and again developing upekkha, equanimity. So those Brahma viharas are another practice that monks are developing. And certain others are developing foulness or the asubha bhavana. So they try to recognize the loathsomeness of the body, and so that their, say, lust will be removed, subsided. So they are practicing foulness or the asubha bhavana. And certain others are practicing or trying to understand the impermanence. So maybe the body, maybe various, say, feelings, thoughts, mind states. So they are trying to practice vipassana meditation, particularly about the impermanence, anicca anupassi, anicca anupassana. And certain others are practicing mindfulness on breathing. Now you can see, I mean, all the typical meditation techniques that we are quite aware of are listed here. So we can say in a way that we were able to protect these practices, and even today these are available and monks are practicing. All the other practitioners, either lay or ordained, so they are practicing these very good practices. So therefore we can see the practice is available. And now, after giving an account of all this information, Buddha decided to explain Anapanasati. So that is another interesting point highlighted in this sutta. Now we understood that there are many arahants, there are many good teachers, and they are teaching their students, either 10 students, either 20, either 30 or 40. So likewise they are developing, and as a result of that many monks are further and further enhancing their understanding. And Buddha found that some of them have already attained, so they are in different spiritual levels, and they are again practicing different types of meditation. And now Buddha decided to explain about Anapanasati. Interestingly, how to cultivate all those necessary qualities using Anapanasati. As I mentioned, there are various meditation techniques, but now Buddha comes up with a way how to develop all those spiritual qualities using Anapanasati. So this is in a way kind of a direct path. So just one technique is used, using which you are moving forward further and further. So therefore, on the other hand, we can say Anapanasati is a practice which anyone who already developing certain other techniques can use. And again, another point is that it is not the way that we like, we got to practice Anapanasati, but now Buddha is going to explain how he wanted us to practice. Now this is the 16 steps that he is mentioning, using which one can practice all the four foundations of mindfulness. So there may be various other ways of practicing Anapanasati, because Anapanasati is a meditation technique even capable of providing us samatha concentration, even the first jhana, second jhana, third jhana and fourth jhana. So it is a very good samatha practice. But here Buddha is highlighting more on to the vipassana side, and he is explaining if one is able to develop Anapanasati in a way which I am now going to explain, then Buddha mentioned, yes, they are capable of developing four foundations of mindfulness. So you don't need to practice other techniques, say for example Dhatu Manasikara, Asubha Bhavana, Navasivatika, that is the decomposing of corpse, Iriyapata, separately Vedanupassana, separately Chittanupassana, separately Dhammanupassana. So typically what we know in the Satipatthana is fairly included in this technique which Buddha is going to explain. So therefore this is quite interesting, and again for the people who are searching a direct path, and again who are searching a kind of a shortcut. So this is the shortcut that we can find here. So one technique being used to cover all the four foundations of mindfulness. You are not switching to different techniques, rather you are using the same technique to cover all the four foundations of mindfulness. So when one develops four foundations of mindfulness, another interesting point is it is fulfilling the seven enlightenment factors. And when one is developing seven enlightenment factors, Buddha mentioned, he is capable of developing knowledge and wisdom. Sorry, knowledge and freedom. The panya and the vimutti. So therefore, vijja and vimutti. So this is in a way, Buddha is highlighting the salient features of this practice. So typically we know there are 37 factors of enlightenment. Bodhipakkhiya Dhamma, starting with four foundations of mindfulness, and then going to say four sammapadhana, four strivings, then four iddipada, four foundations of mindfulness, and then four great efforts, then four strivings, those are the iddipada, and then five faculties, five powers, seven enlightenment factors, and then Noble Eightfold Path, 37 factors. Now, these 37 factors are somewhat condensed in this sutta, explaining first of all practicing Anapanasati as a mechanism to fulfill four foundations of mindfulness, and using which one is capable of developing seven enlightenment factors. So, this does not mean that we are forgetting the rest, that is the four great efforts, four strivings, five faculties, five spiritual powers. So we are not neglecting them. But in a way, a kind of summary is given here. So when one is developing four foundations of five mindfulness, you are capable of developing all those qualities as well. Important point is that ultimately you are able to develop seven enlightenment factors. So, when one develops further the seven enlightenment factors, the Noble Eightfold Path will be cultivated, and as a result of that, the vijja and vimutti, knowledge and freedom, is practiced or cultivated. So, Noble Eightfold Path is not mentioned, but in a way it's a summary given here, starting with one, that is Anapanasati, building four, that is the four foundations of mindfulness, which leads to develop seven, those are the seven enlightenment factors, which leads to develop two, that is the vijja and vimutti, knowledge and freedom. Now let's see how Buddha is going to explain these steps. So actually there are 16 steps, and Buddha is going to explain here, and this is how we got to practice four foundations of mindfulness using Anapanasati. Mindfulness on breathing. So if one is capable of practicing the way that Buddha highlights here, then we can say we are fulfilling, or we are capable of completing all four foundations of mindfulness. We don't need to switch to another object. We can use mindfulness of breathing throughout. Now, Buddha is explaining from the beginning, and how bhikkhus is mindfulness of breathing developed and cultivated, so that it is of great fruit and great benefit. Here a bhikkhu gone to the forest or to the root of a tree or to an empty hut sits down. Now, interesting point, when one is practicing Anapanasati, it is important to have a proper place, a suitable place for that, because a beginner is someone who is sort of struggling with various defilements, especially the strong hindrances. So therefore, if he is trying to practice mindfulness on breathing in a kind of a noisy environment, it will be a utter failure. It will be very difficult, because mindfulness on breathing is a very subtle aspect or subtle meditation, where you are looking at or watching breath. Breath is something very refined. Breath is something very subtle. So if you want to practice mindfulness on breathing, so therefore Buddha recommend that you first of all has to find a suitable place. But later, once you are fully accomplished with the practice, then definitely you can practice mindfulness on breathing at other places as well, even at noisy places as well. But at the beginning, it is always better to find a very favorable environment for the practice. Now, another point is that the preparation of the posture, establish mindfulness, having folded his legs crosswise. Now this, what you call as Padmasana, the lotus posture, is one of the, say, preferred posture, we can say the best posture. But on the other hand, there are other postures as well, if one can't sit in the perfect posture. Because important thing is that we need to keep our head straight, and again the neck straight, and the upper half of the body straight and quite suitable for smooth breathing. So the breathing has to happen quite smoothly without any kind of a hindrance, without any kind of an obstacle. So the breathing process has to happen very naturally. You can't do any kind of forceful breathing, and you should not do any kind of purposeful breathing. So rather the body has to take care of itself, and therefore it has to be placed on a very comfortable posture. But it doesn't mean that we are strictly trying to maintain that posture, that erect posture, throughout the session. At the beginning we start like that, but while the meditation is going on, there may be slight adjustments. There may be minor adjustments which is carried out by the body itself. It is not that we are adjusting. We start with a fairly good posture, but while the meditation is going on, automatically the body may do slight adjustments that we should allow. Because body know what is the most comfortable posture. We don't know it in a way. So we are theoretically making the body erect and keeping it quite comfortable, and again quite symmetrical. So that is the best posture that we can think of. And while the meditation is going on, the body may do minor adjustments by itself. Now, assume that in the middle that you found those minor adjustments have happened. Now if you immediately try to correct your posture, then you are disturbing the process. So if you found that the posture has fairly distorted and you need to correct it, then you, if you feel it really like that, then probably you can do it carefully, slowly, without disturbing the ongoing meditation. Because as you are continuing mindfulness on breathing, mindfulness is started to grow, and again the concentration start to grow. So at that time we should allow that ongoing process to happen smoothly without disturbing it. So that's why immediately correcting one's posture is not suitable, so you have to do it carefully. One approach is you can simply maintain your attention on the breath, and in the background you are making the correction to the posture. On the other hand is you are leaving the breath altogether and trying to keep your attention on the posture where you are trying to adjust, and then you do the adjustment and again return back to the breath. So those two methods are available. So the first one may be more suitable for a beginner, because if he loses the meditation object, the primary object, it would be difficult for him to handle it again. So you might have to start from the beginning. So therefore a beginner is someone who has to be quite sympathized, because he is struggling with defilements, and again the hindrances and the meditation object is also not prominent, and the body is also not supporting. There are many aches and pains, and likewise So for him, we need to provide as much as possible good conditions to his support, to his practice. Now, so once everything has happened, now he has gone to a suitable place and the mindfulness has established. Sorry, and he has established a very good posture. And now he keeps his body erect. And mindfulness is established in front of him. In front of him, in the sense, you are keeping your attention at the nostril. Establish mindfulness in front of him. Ever mindful he breathes in, mindful he breathes out. Now this is the mere establishment of mindfulness using the breath. We can say the bare attention part. In Satipatthala, our Lokusamin Vahanse, Bantadambajeva, used to say it as a sati matre. So this is the bare attention. So this is the very basic, we can say, ignition of mindfulness. So we are using a subtle object, that is the mindfulness of breathing, using which we are trying to establish mindfulness. So we are not yet trying to go, the subtle levels, but simply using breath as an anchor to the mind. You know that typically our minds are wandering here and there, and to the past, to the future, daydreaming, fantasizing, fabrication, regression, and all worrying, and all sorts of problems are there. So that is the nature of the mind. So that is the mind that we are trying to cultivate. And at that time, we are using breath as an anchor. So whenever mind wanders, again and again, we are bringing it back to the breath. So breath is the, in a way we can say, appear like the workshop for the mind. Again and again, he has to do something at the breath. So it is leaving out, again we are bringing it back. Again it is getting distracted, again we are bringing it back. So likewise, we may have to do that, say for example, million times, because at the beginning, mind is not used to do this process. We may have convinced that it is necessary to do, it is important to do, it is necessary to develop mindfulness. We are quite convinced. But practically, mind is not ready. So this is a typical question that all the beginners may encounter. So we don't need to worry about it. We don't need to discourage because of this behavior. This is the typical behavior we all went through. It is not that our minds were special to the others. Rather, everyone's minds are fairly similar. Whenever you start practicing, the wandering is a typical nature, natural behavior of the mind. So therefore, we have to have some amount of self-compassion in order to practice. If you are quite strict to yourself, if you are expecting perfection immediately, then it is not going to happen. So you have to sympathize yourself. You have to have a great compassion to yourself to again and again correct yourself. You know this is the thing to do, but mind is not ready. Mind is very much like an untamed child, a naughty child. So parents may be advising, but he's not ready to listen. He's again and again doing wrong things. But they are the children, and again, so parents are the parents, so parents should not be so cruel, and parents has to be sympathetic to their children, compassionate to their children. Even the children are doing the wrong things. So you are doing some sort of a similar thing here. So you are now like a parent, a mother, looking after the parent, looking after the child. So child is a mind. It's a childish mind, we can say. So even though you know this is what to do, but the mind is quite childish. It is jumping here and there, thinking this and that. So that is the typical nature. So again and again, you have to be sympathetic. Again and again, you have to have self-compassion, so that you are again and again keeping your mind back in the breath, again and again. Now, so this is the establishment of mindfulness. Now, in order to facilitate this process, you can use certain tools like, say, for example, counting. First, in breath and out breath, you are counting as one. Second, in breath and out breath, you are counting as two. Third, in breath and out breath, you are counting as three. So, likewise, you can continue 1-1, 2-2. 3-3. So likewise, you are noting when you are experiencing in-breath and out-breath. And you can lead till 10. And after that, you can come back to 1. Assume that you got distracted in between. Then you can again have to come back to 1. So likewise, you can train. Another option is you can simply label or simply note what is going on. Say for example, when you are experiencing in-breath, you can note it as in. When you are experiencing out breath, you can note it as out. In, out. So this is the typical labeling technique or typical noting technique which is widely used. Because it is very much like you are confirming the physical process mentally. There is a physical process going on and you are quite aware of it. And you are fairly confirming it, you are in a way seconding it, you are proving it, you are acknowledging it. So this acknowledgement, this approval, confirmation help us to develop the mind or cultivate the mind in a way that you are kind of collecting your attention. Your attention is somewhat scattered all around, but during this confirmation you are very much like kind of focusing your mind. You are collecting your attention. So therefore, this technique of noting is highly recommended for beginners. So assume that now you are again and again continuing your practice. After a while, you will understand, okay, now mind has somewhat tamed. Now less wanderings. Previously, suppose 1 week ago, you are simply able to practice Anapanasati only for a short time, say 10 minutes. And that also was not that successful. And there were many distractions. But after a week, okay, now you can practice 20 minutes. Again, with less distractions. And you can keep your attention for a long time with the breath. So you can do such kind of a verification. So, when we are cultivating mindfulness, so it should be verifiable. Say, 1 week ago, I had very weak mindfulness. I could only pay attention to, say, 7 breaths. But now, after a week, I can pay attention to 20 breaths. So, that indicates the improvement. So, likewise, you can have a kind of an assessment of your development of mindfulness. So, that is quite important. Actually, you have to praise yourself. So these are the simple goals, achievable goals that we are keeping. Suppose today you started and you could only go till 5. But later on tomorrow, you are having a kind of a objective, a kind of determination. Okay, let me go for 6. Let me go for 7. That's it. You are not trying to have very high goals. Rather, you are trying to keep achievable goals. And assume that you are able to accomplish it, then you actually praise yourself. Yes, I was in a really pathetic situation, but now today, I was able to observe 7 breaths. Then tomorrow, you are keeping it as, say, I am trying to achieve 10 breaths. Just an increment of 3. Achievable. So your mind will say, yes, I can do it. So likewise, it's a kind of a positive atmosphere you are trying to maintain in your mind. Even when you are keeping your goals, so you can see it is a kind of a practical, possible goals. So with that, you can actually continue your practice diligently, with some enthusiasm, and with some happiness, because you know that daily you are improving a little bit. It is not that you are immediately trying to attain Sotapanna. Rather, you are simply trying to add another 2 breaths using today's practice. On tomorrow, another 2 breaths. Day after tomorrow, another 2 breaths. So likewise, you are keeping achievable goals, using which you are further developing mindfulness. Now, assume that you are able to develop mindfulness like this. After some time, suppose, now you are able to keep your attention for a long time. Say, example, say 30 breaths, 50 breaths. You can keep your attention continuously with the breath. Now, even if distraction happens, your mind may return quickly back to you. So that is another improvement that you can recognize. Previously, if my mind wanders, it spent long time in conceptual proliferation, but now it has fairly reduced. Even if it distracted, it may return quite quickly. And on the other hand, there are certain other interesting findings that you can even recognize at this level. I mean, we were thinking that we are quite responsible for all the thoughts coming to our mind and they belong to me. So I have to act according to them. But now you understood. So you have some other refuge. So your mind has some other refuge. So that is the breath. It doesn't mean that the thoughts are not coming. Thoughts are coming. But now you know that they are merely thoughts. You are not supporting thoughts, and they are not your thoughts. They are merely thoughts. So you are trying to keep your attention on breath, discarding thoughts. You are not going to confront thoughts at this level. Later we can do it at the Chittanupassana. But here, you are simply discarding thoughts. You are simply letting go thoughts. You are not paying attention to thoughts. You are, as quickly as possible, you are trying to come back to breath. So breath is your safe refuge. So breath is the anchor. Breath is the home. Breath is the safety place. So therefore, breath has become the refuge. So therefore, as much as possible, the yogi is trying to maintain his attention on breath. So breath is the most prominent object at this level. So as much as possible, you are trying to keep your attention on the breath. You are in the sitting posture, you are cross-legged, and you are keeping your attention at the nostril and trying to keep your attention on the breath. And again, another point is, you are keeping your attention at the nostril and you are not following the breath. Following in the sense, your in-breath may passing in. It may go through the nostril and go to the nasal passage and maybe the respiratory duct and come into the lungs. So likewise, that's a kind of a direction. But you are not following the breath. You have to keep your attention at the nostril. Similarly, the out-breath. It may coming out of the nostril and it may go out, but now you are not following the breath, the out breath. You have to keep your attention at the nostril. So this is very important. You are not following the breath. So therefore, Buddha typically sort of analogs to the breath as a gatekeeper. Sati dovariko bhikkave ariya savako. Sati dovarika. Mindfulness as a gatekeeper. So the task of a gatekeeper is always at the gate. He may check the identity, he may check the passport, or he may check the whatever the valid documents. And if they are correct, then he will let the person to go in. He is not following the guest. He still has to serve the next person. He therefore has to stay at the gate. When they are coming out, also the similar. If he has returned something, he is returning. If he has to get a signature, he is getting it. And then he allow him to go out. He is not going after him. He has to attend to the next person. So likewise, his task is always around the gate, closer to the gate, at the gate. So similarly, When we are developing mindfulness on breathing, our place of attention is at the nostril. It is also not necessary to look at precisely where the breath is touching at this level. It is difficult. But here we are simply using breath in order to establish mindfulness. It's a mechanism to establish mindfulness. Still, we don't know whether it is long, short, or say warm, cool. So we haven't come to that yet. We are trying to keep our attention to many breaths as much as possible. And again, we can keep a kind of a goal not to miss any breaths, because you know the breathing is happening continuously, and if our minds get distracted, so there may be several breaths that we might miss. So therefore, we are trying to convince the mind, okay, you just keep your attention here at the nostril, don't miss any breaths, because if you miss, you can never get them back. It has gone. So you have missed them altogether. So it's very much like educating a child. So you are giving a task to the child and giving a little bit of responsibility. Telling, okay, this is your task. You have to stay here. You have to check who is coming in. You have to check who is going out. If you shift out of this place, if you wander from this place, there may be others coming and going without your knowledge. So therefore, don't miss them. Don't do that. So likewise, you are educating the mind to keep your attention at the nostril and the breath. Keep your attention at the nostril and paying attention to the breath, and not to miss any breaths. So this is very much like the establishment of mindfulness. So actually, we haven't come to the four steps yet. Four steps are coming next, which specifically Buddha mentioned, which belongs to Kayanupassana. But what we have explained today is also, we can say, belong to Kayanupassana. But these are the preliminary stages. Buddha hasn't given a number to it. Numbers are starting, steps are starting from next point. Actually, we can cover from next week. And what I have discussed today are the most, preliminary adjustments, preliminary requirements, and how to develop mindfulness just by keeping our attention on the breath and just to establish mindfulness. So once we establish mindfulness, then we have to move forward, and that is explained through four steps in Kayanupassana, another four steps in Vedanupassana, another four steps in Chittanupassana, and another four steps for Dhammanupassana. So we'll discuss further next weeks and coming weeks. And with that, I like to conclude today's Dhamma sermon or Sutta teaching. Now I like to open the session for questions.
Thank you, Bhante. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So if we have any new friends that's joining us for the first time, you may ask questions by raising your hand, or you can send them via chat. Radhika, I'd like to invite you to ask a question.
Thank you, Ben.
Yes, but if you could make it a little louder, that's much better. Yes.
So I spoke with you last week, so I increased my walking and decreased my skin medication. I'm telling you about my walking medication today.
Right.
I couldn't get the whole, I didn't really do a whole hour, but I moved from 30 to 40. Some days it wasn't very good, but I tried to do from 30 to 40, not straight away for 1 hour. So I could practice my walking meditation with my awareness on the sole of the foot. I felt a hardness or a tightness on the heel of my foot, and a spreading pressure in the ball of the foot as and when it made contact with the floor. I was aware that the heel touched the ground first and then the ball of the foot when I put my foot down. I also felt the weight of my body as each foot touched the ground. The weight was heavier on the right foot and lighter on the left foot. From time to time, I felt that my body was swinging to the right when the weight was on the right foot, and swinging to the left when the weight was on the left foot. From time to time, I also observed thoughts. When I was aware of thoughts, I brought my awareness back to the sole of my foot. From time to time, I was aware of a very subtle sensation on my face. It felt kind of cool. When this happened, I also went to my breath, and I was aware of my breath at the nostrils, and the breath going in was cooler than the breath coming out. So when I noticed that I have moved from the foot to my face, because I felt like a cold sensation or a subtle sensation on my face, and the breath again, I had to bring it back to the foot. When I stopped at the end of the path, I observed the intentions to stop. I turned right, one foot at a time. I placed my foot flat on the heel and the ball at the same time, touching the floor at the same time, unlike when I was walking. And then I turned one more time, and then I started walking back. So that was my walking meditation, Bhante. I'm not saying that every day it was the same. Some days I was thinking more, or I was restless or whatever. But that was a summary of all the days, like the best I got or whatever. So please, can you advise me on how to improve or what I should be doing, or if I'm doing it right?
Yeah, actually you have done quite well, and the way you have approached is correct. So the foot is touching the ground, and as much as possible now you are able to keep your attention there, and seems that you are not currently doing any kind of noting, rather you are able to pay attention without any noting. Am I correct?
No, I started it with noting, and then when I noticed it, the feeling like this,
Then
noting stopped.
Yeah, that's
but
right. It's correct. Yeah, that's right. So you are now capable of doing it without noting as well. So at the beginning,
yes,
you, of course,
on and off, Bhante.
Uh-huh.
I'm not. When I start, every day I can start like this. That's why I
right.
said it's the best. What
right.
I got.
Yeah, no problem. Because I mean, still, mind has the tendency to wander. So we start with noting, and we are using
yes.
that tool to tame the mind to some extent. And once we realize that mind has now somewhat tamed and no need to use noting, then we discard it, and we are trying to keep
yes.
our attention very quietly. So
yes,
that is an improvement.
Right.
So that is an indication. That's an indication that mindfulness has fairly developed, and mind has come to a more sensitive, subtle level. And we, with a very quiet mind, we can observe what is going on at the foot. So that is an improvement. Now, at this time, probably you can try to recognize other features as well. Say, for example, at the beginning, you probably understood only the hardness. But later, once the mindfulness has fairly established, now you can give a little challenge to the mind. So there is not only hardness, but there are other features as well. There may be smoothness. There may be, roughness. There may be sort of wetness, dryness. So likewise, you are giving a little bit of a challenge, kind of an inquiring nature to the mind, so that it will try to inquire things. It will try to sort of examine things more closely. So that helps to further develop clear comprehension, sampajanya. Because mindfulness has once somewhat improved now, so we are not satisfied, or we are not simply stop there, we are now using that to further comprehend the situation, further sort of examine the situation, examine the data, examine the phenomena as much as possible. So therefore, you can sort of give another task to the mind once you reach the mindfulness. After you stop noting, now you assign the mind, okay, now you have to watch carefully, examine the situation carefully. Actually, you have done that also, because that's why you are able to understand how weight transfer happened from one leg to the other leg. So those things are you are already doing. So it seems like you have recognized the technique now. Practically, you are doing it. It's a matter of further and further improving it, increasing the practice.
The reason that I'm doing it on a hardwood floor, it's outside, it's cold now, so I'm practicing outside.
Yeah.
I practiced on a hardwood floor. So before, if I'm doing it in the grass, I would feel different sensations. Or there is a woodland walking path, I used to feel the prickly sensation because it's like wood shavings, or it's not sand, it's something different, like mulch that they have put. So then I used to feel a different sensation, but right now I'm doing it on a inside the house in a hardwood floor.
Yeah, that's fine. No problem. That's fine.
After I feel it softer.
Yeah.
But right now, at a longer walking, I'm doing it on a corridor.
Right.
Not carpeted.
No problem. No problem. I mean, those are the different textures that we can come across. Time to time we can, I mean, even change it just to have a kind of a variation. So no harm,
right.
No harm. You are doing well.
So now for the sitting meditation,
yeah.
I found that if at the time of the walking meditation, I have gone to the breath, then my sitting is even better.
Mm-hmm.
So like I told you, when I'm walking, then I feel like a cold sensation on my face. That's because that's the open area, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm a dress, my hands and all are covered. So, or you know, blouse or shirt or something. So, then I go to the breath, and then after that, when I sit, it's good. It's a sitting because I'm straight away going from a very good feeling of the breath, cold and warm, onto the sitting, right?
Mm. Yes.
But I make the sitting shorter so that I don't get sleepy at the end. Sometimes I feel like a tingling sensation on my body. Again, I have stopped the in-out at that time. Right? I'm not saying in-out. I start with in-out for the in-breath and the out-breath. It's fairly short, I say, on average. There are some days it's a bit longer, or I have run upstairs or something and it's different. The breathing is different, but generally, but then I feel this kind of on either side of my body near the arms, like vibrations.
Good. I mean,
then,
yes.
Fall asleep. Then, of course, I don't fall asleep. But I try to be still again with the breath, but sometimes I move to these sensations.
Yeah. So good. I mean, basically you are practically now doing it, and practically you are experiencing it and trying to explain it, and that is what is needed. Actually, we can learn many things, read books, listen to Dhamma, but unless we practice, unless we experience things as it is happening to us, so we are not really doing it well. So now you are practicing to yourself, so that is the most important thing. And there may be ups and downs, doesn't matter. So those are also teaching us. Suppose one session you are doing well, another session not doing well. So that is also something to learn. That we are learning. I mean, these are the things. This is the way it is. And this is the way the eight worldly phenomena are happening. So it is true to me. It is common to everyone. So likewise, even you are practicing, I mean, even you are applying those teachings to the practice, you are diligently practicing. So that is the most important thing. And another point is that, typically during walking, we are not encouraging Anapanasati, because there are other benefits we can gain through walking. Because if we practice Anapanasati while walking, actually there are certain other benefits that we are missing. On the other hand, we are gaining certain other benefits as well. But certain benefits that we are missing, say for example, in walking, so constantly the object changes and the place of object also changes, so we have to quickly change the position of our attention, the location of our attention. That is a skill that we have to develop, so that actually helps to control the mind. to navigate the mind to where we need. At first, suppose we are keeping our attention at the left leg, and after that, after a couple of seconds, we have to keep our attention back on the right leg. Now it's a completely different place, maybe about 1.5 foot, 1.5 feet in front. So the location has changed, object has changed. So we have to quickly do that correct aiming. So therefore, walking meditation has many other benefits when we are doing like that, rather than we keep our attention at the nostril and do the walking. Yeah.
All right. I wasn't doing it on purpose. It just happened.
Yeah, yeah. It can. It can also happen like that, because now you are more, your mind is more used to be with the breath. So even when, walking happens smoothly, it may return back to that habitual place. So at that time, yes, yes, no problem. That naturally can happen. So when it happened, you can walk only for a small period, and then you can return back to the sitting, because it indicates that the mind is now willing to practice Anapanasati. It has already gathered momentum to develop Anapanasati. So you can do smoothly while sitting now.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone, Sanai.
Thank you. I'd like to invite Chita Devi to ask the next question.
Thank you, Jennifer. Bhante, it's just want to get your opinion, really.
Mm-hmm.
This time when the Buddha was addressing the monks, they were had been practicing for several months, and he actually stayed on for another month.
Mm-hmm.
And he was addressing these arahats and who were training the younger ones, and Buddha was very satisfied with what was going on.
Yeah.
These were all monks who were potential arahats. I mean, some were Sotapanas and Anagamis and Chaktagamis. So he was addressing a very profound set of monks. So I have heard certain monks who have been preaching saying, that's why I like your opinion, that this is Anapanasati is not meant for beginners, because the Buddha was really addressing this very advanced senior people who were potential arahats, and so this is only for very. The Anapanasati is meant for those who are at a high level,
mm-hmm.
and not for beginners like ourselves. So I just like to put the question to you, Bhante.
Yeah, interesting. So this is this is one extreme that some people are telling, and the other extreme is also there. One type of one group of people are telling, okay, this is quite advanced, so it is not for beginners, so therefore don't go for this quickly. So rather you have to do something else first for several years or something, that you have to practice something else, then only you have to go Anapanasati. So this is one type of explanation certain group of people are doing. On the other hand, some are doing the opposite. They say, okay, there is no point of practicing Anapanasati at all, because this is just the air, simply looking at air, what is the benefit? So they are simply criticizing, telling that no point of observing air at all. So that's the other extreme. So I feel that we have to go practical, we have to take a practical approach. And it is true that what you are telling here is true, that all the great arahants are there, so they are instructing. But you can see how Buddha started the discourse. So if they are kind of really matured or experienced yogis, Buddha doesn't have to tell that you have to go to a quiet place, you have to sit cross-legged, you have to keep your mind attention at the nostril, you simply have to use it as an anchor just to breathe in mindfully, breathe out mindfully. So this is actually something that even a grade 4 child can do. I mean, Buddha doesn't need to tell. Immediately he probably can start with Chitta Anupassana, because all are sort of familiar with everything, and they are, the potential arahants. So why Buddha has mentioned all this basic stuff? That is because the whole thing has a, I mean, the sutta explained the whole spectrum. Whole spectrum is covered, not only the higher states, but even the very beginner is covered here. So even for the beginner, Buddha is explaining, okay, you got to find a quiet place, you have to sit cross-legged, now you pay, establish mindfulness at the nostril, and now even you can, I mean, that is not mentioned in the sutta, but typically we can understand, okay, now you can even use noting, in-breath, out-breath, in-breath, out-breath, even that kind of a tool can be used. So likewise, even for the beginner, the instructions are available. And on the other hand, I feel that there are various other ways of practicing Anapanasati. I mean, rather than, say, recognizing the subtle aspects, which we are going to explain, say, next week using the Kayanupassana section. So there are maybe other techniques just oriented towards some of the practice. But here, we can say, I mean, it is true, even in the previous part, it is mentioned that certain group of monks are practicing Anapanasati. But now here Buddha is coming up with his own recipe. Now monks, actually there is another sutta in I think Anapanasati Sangyutta or some other section. Certain monk is explaining how he is practicing Anapanasati. And then Buddha says, yes, this is also possible. But I am teaching you a different technique. I am teaching you a different way of practicing Anapanasati. This is the one going to be much beneficial. So likewise, Buddha has his own kind of understanding or his, best understanding. Now he's teaching the monks, okay, monks, you may have different ways of practicing Anapanasati, but try to use the way I am teaching. So this is the way, if you are practicing the way I am teaching now, then Buddha says, you are definitely trying to fulfill all four foundations of mindfulness. If you are fulfilling all four foundations of mindfulness, the way I am teaching, definitely you are going to fulfill seven enlightenment factors. If you are practicing seven enlightenment factors, then you are going to fulfill the two factors, those are the Vijaya and Vimutti. So likewise, so this is a special way of delivering Anapanasati, so that you are able to fulfill all these higher goals. So therefore, I feel that we should not wait till we become really high level to practice Anapanasati, because the very basic techniques is started, very basic techniques is also stated here, explained here. But only point that we need to keep in mind, we should not jump to the other levels quickly. Say for example, in this Anapanasati Sutta itself, Buddha explained very clearly at the Chittanupassana level, if you don't have very good mindfulness, if you don't have very good clear comprehension, don't try Chittanupassana. So that is clearly mentioned. So that you can say, it is not that Buddha has forgotten the gradual path. He is mentioning the gradual path. So that is why he first explained the finding a place, keeping your posture, and establishing mindfulness, and then you go to the Kayanupassana, and then you go to the Vedananupassana, and then you go to the Chittanupassana. So likewise, a gradual process is explained here. So therefore, I feel that everybody can practice Anapanasati, but on the other hand, we also need to admit that certain other things, like rather than immediately coming to sit, so you can spend fair amount of time in walking, so that you are sort of preparing your mind, you are sort of, I mean, fairly training your mind to further focus on to foot, so that you are somewhat established mindfulness. So with that developed mindfulness, now you are coming and sitting. So that is also a good thing. And on the other hand, if you are in a really sort of angry mood and you are trying to practice Anapanasati, that is also not recommended. Probably at that time you can practice a little bit of metta. And after you are able to keep your mind back on the typical neutral mood, then you can practice Anapanasati. On the other hand, if your mind is extremely lustful, then immediately practicing Anapanasati also might not be, I mean, easy. Rather, you can use little bit of asubha, and after your mind again become neutral, you can practice Anapanasati. So those are actually possible, and those are valid points, and therefore I feel that we don't need to wait till we become really mature to practice this thing, but we can try.
Yes, Bhante, I have heard this many times, so I do the Anapanasati because that is how we were taught from the very beginning. But I must say it took me a long, many, many years to actually come to some level, but that... if you are a real beginner, then that's why I put it to you, because
yes,
sometimes
yes.
It will start as a basic beginner, and my very young people, I'm told, but I have heard Dhamjiva Hamdru saying that your children are the best, so
mm-hmm.
maybe it's a good thing to start as a child, I don't know, but we started when we were older, so that's why I asked him,
because I
hear this often, and I don't agree. Actually, for me, I don't agree, but then I just like to wanted your opinion as well, Bhante.
Yes, yes, I understand. Yeah, yeah. So actually, I mean, these are valid points, and that's why I've said that when we are angry, when we are sort of lustful, rather than immediately practicing Anapanasati, we can do a little bit of preparation into the mind. And so likewise, we can practically do that, and that can be included. And typically in Sri Lanka, most of the monasteries, without immediately going to Anapanasati, they do the guardian meditations. You know, the Chaturarakka, Metta, Marananusati, Asubha, and loving kindness. What you call Buddhanusati. So those were found, practiced to some extent, and then slowly go to Anapanasati. I mean, these are depending on an individual as well, because certain people, they have sign of faithful mind, and they first need to practice a little bit of Buddha Anusati and then Metta to keep the mind quiet and say pleasing and happy, and then they come to Anapanasati. Then the practice of Anapanasati will be quite smooth.
Yes,
so very much like, I mean, say Anapanasati is like a kind of a highway, and if you are not yet in the highway, you can simply, you have to go to the side paths. So those side paths are the other techniques like Metta, Buddha, Anusati, and all those things. And using them, you can then actually have to come to Anapanasati on one day.
Yes, Bhante. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Bhante, I believe that's all of the questions for tonight.
Okay, then. So we have spent... about 1 hour and 15 minutes and we were able to discuss some Dhamma and to listen some Dhamma and inquire into Buddha's teaching, and with that we were able to accumulate some merit, and let's share these merits by reciting traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu sasanang ఆకాశట్టాచ బుమ్మట్టా దేవానాగా మహిద్దికా పుణ్యంతం అనుమోదిత్వా చిరం రక్ఖంతు దేశనం ఆకాశట్టాచ బుమ్మట్టా దేవానాగా మహిద్దికా పుణ్యంతం అనుమోదిత్వా చిరం రక్ఖంతు మం పరం ఇదం వో జ్ఞాతీనాం హోతు సుఖితా హంతు జ్ఞాతయో ఇదం వో జ్ఞాతీనాం హోతు సుఖితా హంతు జ్ఞాతయో ఇదం వో జ్ఞాతీనాం హోతు సుఖితా హంతు జ్ఞాతయో ఇమినా పుణ్యకమ్మేన మామే బాల సమాగమో సతం సమాగమో హోతు యావ నిబ్బాన పత్తియా ఇమినా పుణ్యకమ్మేన మామే బాల సమాగమో సతం సమాగమో హోతు యావ నిబ్బాన పత్తియా ఇమినా పుణ్యకమ్మేన మామే బాల సమాగమో సతం సమాగమో హోతు యావ నిబ్బాన పత్తియా సాధు సాధు సాధు.